While industry players were in Vancouver this week at the Canada Gas and LNG Conference to talk about the opportunities and challenges of BC's nascent LNG industry, the Pembina Institute was dashing cold water on the notion that BC can develop an LNG industry while meeting its own greenhouse gas, GHG, emissions reductions targets. The problem is the amount of electricity that would be needed to reduce the emissions intensity of all LNG projects to the point that they would fit within BC's new emissions limits for oil and gas. Basically, BC would need to make huge investments in one form of energy, clean electricity, to permit the growth of another form of energy, liquefied natural gas, the Pembina Institute study warns. Devoting large amounts of clean electricity to LNG could drive away investment in growing clean industries such as critical minerals mining and green hydrogen production, the report, Squaring the Circle, warns. It could also impact available capacity for the electrification for other parts of BC's economy such as transportation and buildings. If all five LNG projects that are either under construction or in the regulatory queue are built, electrifying the LNG plants as well as the upstream would require the equivalent of 8 hydroelectric dams with the generating capacity of Site C Dam, the Pembina Institute report estimates. The report assumes electrification will do all the heavy lifting, however, whereas it's possible some of the emissions reductions that industry will be required to accomplish would be accomplished through carbon capture and storage, or carbon offsets. There is currently one large LNG project being built in BC Phase 1 of LNG Canada in Kitimat. A smaller one, Wood Fiber LNG, is being built in Squamish. Phase 1 of LNG Canada is only partially electrified, whereas Wood Fiber LNG will be fully electric, as it will use electric drive for its chilling process rather than natural gas, which is what is typically used in an LNG plant. The LNG Canada plant will use natural gas for its liquefaction process and BC hydropower for the rest of the Kitimat plant's operations. It is therefore considered only partially electrified. Wood Fiber LNG and Phase 1 of LNG Canada alone will require 1,883 gigawatt-hours, GWh, of power just for the liquefaction plants, Pembina estimates. About 35% of the 5,100 gigawatts per hour generating capacity of Site C Dam, which is still under construction. Electrifying the upstream sector for the extraction, collection and transportation of the natural gas for those two LNG terminals would require another 10,626 gigawatt hours of electricity, Pembina estimates. So just Phase 1 of LNG Canada and Wood Fiber LNG alone would require a total of 12,512 gigawatt-hours, 2.5 times the generating capacity of Site C Dam, according to Pembina Institute's calculations. As for other LNG projects yet to get final investment decisions, they include Phase 2 of LNG Canada, the Haisla First Nation Cedar LNG project in Kitimat, the Kasi-Lisims LNG project in Prince Rupert, which will require a new natural gas pipeline to be built, and an expansion of the FortisBC Tilbury Island LNG plant in Delta. If all of those LNG plants are built, it would require 6,467 gigawatt-hours of electricity just for terminal operations, which is more power than Site C Dam would generate, according to Pembina's calculations. When electrification of the upstream is included, it would require up to 40,000 gigawatt-hours of electricity. It's clear that BC Hydro is not planning for that kind of additional power capacity. BC Hydro has outlined in its 2021 Integrated Resource Plan that it currently has a surplus of power until 2029, the Pembina report notes. In its reference scenario, total electricity demand is projected to grow by 5,875 gigawatt-hours from 2020 to 2030. However, our model suggests that 12,512 gigawatt-hours will be needed for just LNG Canada Phase 1 and Wood Fiber LNG to ensure emissions fit within the 2030 target, the Pembina report notes. The Pembina report notes that, even BC Hydro's most ambitious electrification scenario only estimates an additional 11,741 gigawatt-hours will be needed by 2030 to electrify the oil and gas sector. This means that even BC Hydro's most ambitious scenario model does not have sufficient electricity to meet the oil and gas emission sector target, and this is still only in the case that LNG Canada Phase 1 and Woodfibre LNG are the only projects that become operational. Our modeling shows that a large portion of emissions reduction opportunities in the oil and gas sector comes from electrification of terminals and the upstream. As such, for BC to meet its 2030 oil and gas emissions reduction target, it will need to build significant new electricity generation to electrify LNG terminals and upstream natural gas production facilities. This remains the case even if only LNG Canada Phase 1 and Woodfibre LNG become operational. Thus, the scale of proposed LNG development in BC presents a challenge for the province as it seeks to meet its climate targets and build new electricity infrastructure to do so. The Pembina Institute does not delve into where new power sources might come from. Modeling done last year by the Delta E++ research group at Simon Fraser University likewise found that the "electrify everything" imperative that BC has adopted as a cornerstone of its climate action strategy would require BC to at least double its electricity generation in less than 3 decades. Given how long it takes and how controversial hydroelectric dams are in BC, Taco Niet, an engineering professor at SFU's School of Sustainable Energy Engineering, said he doubted BC will ever see another large hydroelectric dam built in BC. Based on just how much more power BC will need, Niet suggested BC may have no choice but to consider nuclear power. N. Bennett at biv.com, twitter.com/nabennett_biv.